Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Planeswalkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. This is episode 34. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my I beat you in the arena event, went 5-2 when you went 4-3, co-host Aramis Perez. Aramis, how are you tonight?
Well, we're in the same prize tier, so we basically tied.
Yeah, but I still beat you. Well, I won one more this year.
That's fine.
Dude, I have to take these where I can get them. 52-1 is coming, man. We're a short few weeks away, and then I lose all like legs to stand on. So yeah, so let's just get, you know what? Let's get ready. We got a full show tonight. We've got emails coming out our nose. We've got news and all this other stuff. So let's get right into
Untap a Keep and Draw.
And we might have a Greek trap. Oh, phew, I found it. Tonight's Untap Upkeep and Draw is, yes, I'm still drinking through my second 12-pack of Sam Adams Oktoberfest. So that's what we're drinking tonight, because it's a beautiful thing, and we're still in October.
A bottle of water somewhere.
So somebody wake Billy Joe up. We're in October now. So no. September has ended, but a salute. God damn, that's good. All right, so what are we talking tonight? Well, we've got some really great stuff. First of all, Aramis tried his Esper stacks Friday night at Magic, so we're going to go through that. We're going to talk a little bit about SCG Philly this week, what happened. It was a team event, which I was surprised. I thought it would be more standard, but it was actually a team event. And we're going to focus mainly on the team event about what we saw played in standard. So that's that, and that will be interesting because it's going to read us right into combat and whether or not the banhammer should fall on a certain card. And then we're going to follow that up with main two. We're going to talk a little bit about the arena event that just completed this morning. For win every card, what decks we played. I kind of already buried the lead there, but I beat Aramis. And we have like four or five emails with deck lists and everything. So I think that's going to give us a nice full show. But Aramis, before we get started, how you been, man?
Not bad. How about yourself?
You know, it's Monday.
Yeah,
so
rainy,
I went
gross
to work and did the Monday thing. And yeah. But, you know, now we're recording, so it's better. And there's beer involved. So
well, that makes it better for one of us.
Yeah, right. Well, you know what? You could start drinking beer.
No.
Oh, well, then don't do that. Enjoy your water. See, I have water, but mine is fermented.
Yeah, and so, thus, you know, you can see the superiority of the regular, not gross, lead pipe tasting water.
Oh, is it the grossness? Because we can find you things, man, that don't taste
gross.
No,
it's not. I just don't want to.
I know. I'm just messing with you. But let's go ahead and get right into
main phase.
Because that was remarkably uncomfortable. Like, if we were an after-school special, I'd be like the peer pressure kid. Like, come on,
everybody,
man. Everybody
else is doing it, man.
Come on, man. You got to join us here. So, but we, so you actually, you went ahead, and because I went to pre-release, there was no way I was going to get the okay. And plus, Wendy was really sick for, like, the last 2 weeks to go to Friday night. But you went to Magic,
yes,
right?
I did.
And how'd you do?
I brought Esper stacks. I went 2-1-1. The draw was a game that, even when it ended, I mean, I had stabilized. I don't know that I would have won, but it would have at least gone on for a while longer. I was playing against Demir Control.
You were playing Josh,
weren't
you?
Josh. I think it was Josh.
Yeah. I love that.
Pretty
guy.
Sure it was Josh. But anyway, yeah,
he was talking about that deck in the. They have a Kerwin's Discord, so and I'm in there. I'm in there a little bit. I try to get in as much. Listen, I am not a millennial. I am not even a post millennial. I'm like a pre millennial, and I'm Gen X. So Discord's great and wonderful, but I ain't living on the thing. Like my kids and everybody, like they live on the darn thing, and I'm like. You know,
I'm a millennial. I've never
I'm
done
go
it.
Go over there and drink Oktoberfest.
No, I'm a millennial. I've never done it, so I need to find their Discord and see what that's about. But anyway,
oh dude, it's great. It's there's a lot of fun in there, and they're actually pretty good.
Yeah, oh yeah,
so.
They are. Everybody there that I that's yeah. that occurred.
So said. Did you lose to Demir?
No, that was a draw.
Oh,
I lost to what the heck did I lose to? I don't even remember.
Was it Field of the Dead?
No, it wasn't. I didn't actually play anybody who played Field.
I wonder if anybody was, because
yes.
I think that deck came out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah, there was at least one person that was playing Field of the Dead. For the life of me, I can't remember right now. I don't have my notes with me. But I know I won two games. I won against Mono Red Aggro, and I beat like a Orzhov Knights deck. It was pretty bad, and Esper Stacks, I'll say this, Esper Stacks is a powerful deck. I don't think it's positioned well for what we're going to be talking about later, at least not until something possibly happens in the middle of November, if and when they drop the Banhammer.
You think they will?
Yeah, well, here's... We'll talk about it in combat.
We'll talk about it in combat. But
I'll say this, and I'll probably mention it again during combat. The fact that people are calling for a week one ban isn't necessarily unusual, but the logic behind it is. Because it's normally not drawn out in like the results this early, and but like I said, we'll talk about it, and it's we'll get to that.
Absolutely.
But I had fun with the deck, and it was a good deck. It's extremely resilient. It could take a punch or five and still come out to win the game. It still has that surprise win factor, especially if you can plus Teferi and then end step Dance of the Mance for six or more. So yeah, it's a good deck, but I think its days are numbered for now.
Yeah, I understand that. At least for where things are, I think the meta is kind of settling out.
And it's extremely hostile.
But yeah. So how'd you do in game three then?
Well, I think the second, I drew the first round. I won round two. I believe I lost round three, and then I won round four. So I ended up with one of the
2-1-1.
Yeah, 2-1-1. One of the promo packs I ended up getting. It wasn't a bad one. I got a nice. I got the alternate art, not alternate art, but one of the alternate frames, like the FNM frame for Slaying Fire. I don't know if you can see that on the screen.
Not very well, but that's okay because you're pixelated here, and I don't know how it'll look on the Facebook.
It's the one where it's like the full color and like the words are white. Sort of like what they did with like Negate and Thought Erasure, that type of thing.
Right, and the Paradise.
Yeah, and it's only three cards in these packs, and the other two cards were the Planeswalker logo stamped Castle Embreth, and the Planeswalker logo.
I like that.
The other one was the Planeswalker logo stamped Steam Vents, which that's not bad.
That's not
so
bad.
So I was
at all.
Like, I'll take a dual land, and so I was pretty happy.
Can't blame you there. So, yeah. That was for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, all right. So you did that Friday night. You did all right. You went, it sounds like you went 2-1-1. So, I mean, then Saturday, now we talked about this last week, and I apologize, folks. I think we were both misinformed in that the event in Philly this past week with Star City Games, it wasn't just Standard, which they normally do. They normally do a constructed event or at least draft and things of that nature. They went for a team event this week, which is all well and good. And I mean, no problems, props to
them.
And
Standard was still part of it.
Standard was definitely a part of it. Cause if you're not familiar with a team event, it's basically you get together two other people and you sit down and one person is playing, Legacy, one person's playing Modern, and one person's playing Standard. And it's pretty cool. And you know, you work together, I think. I don't know how the scoring goes for that.
You have to. So. Your team has to win two out of the three matches,
right?
In order to win, in order to win the quote unquote match for your points.
So that's kind of cool, and I mean, Standard was definitely there. We did see some decks there. I think some of the biggest winners is definitely Fire. Fire of Invention is that's got some real upside.
A lot of caveats with anything with upside right now with the way Standard's shaken out.
Well, yeah, I mean, we know that. But, I mean, the fact is, I mean, you know, it's got a lot of, as far as you saw a lot of it in various places. I mean, there was definitely more of a presence, if you will, by, Standard decks as far as Golos and... Golos and Field of the Dead, obviously. Mm-hmm. And that really, a lot of people saw that. The team open, I mean, the top eight had quite a few of those decks in it.
Seven.
Different variations. Seven of the top eight had a different variation of that. What was the other one? I forget.
The other one was Simic Midrange.
That's right.
Everything else was Bant Golos, or I think the other outlier was Golos Fires, but it was still Golos, and it was still Field of the Dead.
Yeah. So, I mean, Field of the Dead and the Golos thing. I mean, we're definitely going to talk about that. That's good, you know, pulling the curtain back a little bit. That's going to be our combat tonight. So we, you know, we'll get to there. But as far as the rest of standard goes, so let's put that aside. I mean, it's definitely looking like Bant is definitely some. There's some stuff in Bant. You know, the other really main decks is Bant Ramp, Simic Ramp. There is Esper Stacks. I'm looking at Celestia Adventure. Luckily, and I mean, we'll talk about this in an email, Cavalcade Mono Red. We thought this was going to be a thing. It's not. It is. It's too inconsistent. It's way too inconsistent, and there's too many ways to deal with it between Mortify and any number of other enchantment killers out there. But there is a mono red aggro that's kind of hanging out there. I think they're trying to tweak it and figure out the way to do it. I'm not sure you can.
I think it's definitely, it's like very bottom of tier one or even tier two at this point.
Yeah, I would say it's more top half of tier two. I think it'll see play because it's a cheap deck.
And mono red, I mean, it's, and like we've always said, mono red has that ability to just surprise kill you out of nowhere. So it's always a decent choice if you want to have at least quick games.
Right. And I think mono black aggro also seems like one with a higher ceiling. I think you're going to see, I think that people are trying different things to put in there. Rankle, I think, is definitely the sleeper of this entire set.
Yeah, Rankle's good.
People saw it coming, but I don't think to the level of what this thing can do. It's basically, if you don't know, it's two black, two colorless. It's Flying Haste. It's a legendary creature. Whenever Rankle Master of Pranks deals combat damage to a player, choose any number. And it has three effects, so you could do all three. Each player discards a card. Each player loses one life and draws a card. Each player sacrifices a creature. Why would you never do all three unless you didn't want to sacrifice a creature?
Like, well, I mean, I saw it actually in the win every card event. I saw somebody playing Mono Black with Rankle, and depending on the situation, you generally want your opponent just to discard cards. And there was the one time it actually really helped him win the game. He did it so that both players lost a life and drew a card. But the way his deck was built, it was dealing damage very quickly, and I couldn't recover from that.
Right. Well, I mean, the thing about it is that you don't mind losing life if you've got Spawn of Mayhem, which wants you to be below 10 anyway, so it can start becoming more powerful.
Right, but he wanted to deal the extra damage to me. He didn't care that I was drawing a card.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely... Rankle, I think, is going to be... Between Rankle and Knight of the Ebon Legion... Ebon, right? Yeah, Ebon. And Footlight... Or not Footlight Fiend. The Knight there. It's Murderous Rider. Those three can actually do some... I mean, it's a pretty... It's almost... Mono Black Aggro is almost Mono Red Aggro.
I feel sad, though, because Mono Black Aggro is kind of finally a thing, and Dreadshade's nowhere... You know, he rotated out before it happened.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And I mean, it's a really good deck. It's got a lot of upside. You know, other than that, I mean, Simic Flash is probably the worst thing that's happened. I mean, we all thought this was going to be a better deck with Brazen Borrower replacing some of the stuff. I just don't think Quench is a good card.
It's not.
And it certainly does not replace Essence Scatter or what's the other one there that you used to have to pay to, but or play. Crap, it was a one drop too. Syncopate.
Oh.
It's no replacement for Syncopate. A lot of what that deck lost is pretty, you know, it's just not, it hasn't been fixed yet. It can. I mean, we still have three more sets before the end of the year. I'm pretty sure it'll be back. You know, I will not be surprised if the next plane we go to has some serious, you know, help in it. But I mean, like I said, I mean, Oko's a thing. Oko is pretty much involved in, you know, two of the top four decks.
Right.
He's a good player. I'm glad I opened one of those. So, and he's foil. So, let me see. You know, other than that, I mean, Questing Beast, I think they're still trying to find a place for it. It's got a place in Golgari midrange. It's got a place in a lot of midrange decks, but it doesn't have the help it needs yet.
Well, there's a gruel deck running around with Questing Beast and Embercleave, which is pretty good.
Yeah, Embercleave.
So put an Embercleave on Questing Beast, and you got yourself a 5/5 double strike, vigilance, trample, haste, or death touch.
Death touch. takes your mother out for dinner and doesn't call her again.
And does very bad things to her on the way back.
Yeah, it's horrible. You know,
so bad tipper too.
Terrible tipper. It's definitely, you know, I think we're seeing a lot of people trying to see what sticks. If you take a look at it, I'm on MTG Goldfish right now looking at, like, the standard metagame. Mm. And, yeah, I mean, Bantlands is obviously first. Jeskai Fires, but it looks like five-color fires, really. That's the second deck. And I don't disagree. I think Fires is... I think Fires is the Wilderness Reclamation of this set. But I think Fires is also a Wilderness Reclamation where they'll find a use for it. Like, I'm sorry. Fires an Invention, and if you don't know what this card is, it's a red and three colorless. It's an enchantment. It says you can cast spells only during your turn, and you can cast no more than two spells each turn. That sounds horrible. That sounds like something you would put on your opponent. However, the second part of it is really what makes it awesome. You can cast spells with converted mana cost less than or equal to the number of lands you control without paying their mana costs.
I saw that. Actually reminds me, that was the deck that I lost to.
Yeah.
He
like that deck, that's got a lot of upside to
well,
it.
I can tell you.
You throw something
I
like
can tell you the upside Kenrith. Right now.
Yeah.
So this was at Friday Night Magic. I wasn't playing against him at the time, but he was playing someone else. He went turn 4, Fires of Invention. Turn 5, land, Cavalier of Gales, Cavalier of Flames. Gave, you know, +2/+0 in haste to both of them, and he already had another creature on the board. I think it was like a questing beast.
Because he had Kenrith, probably. Kenrith
no,
gives
everything
haste.
No, it was a questing beast. No, the Cavalier gives haste. If you have one in a red, gives all your creatures +1/+0 in haste. Oh, so he gave his team +2/+0 in haste and attacked for like 31 on turn 5. It was disgusting. It came out of nowhere.
So that's a deck. I mean, here's the thing. This looks like, and you know, we wanted to talk a little bit about state of the meta, and I think the meta right now, which is really strange for week one,
it's
if you take a look right now at the top 10 decks in meta according to MTG Goldfish, 1, 2, 3, 4, I would say 6 out of 10 are combo. Like, I consider Bantlands combo. I mean, it's ramp, but it's still combo. It needs things to make it really fire. You know, ramp, the Simic, I consider ramp combo. I really do. I understand it's its own deck type, but I mean, you still need to hit things to make it work. Jeskai Fires is definitely a combo deck.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely, it right now, which is such a weird thing for standard to be.
So
combo seven, yeah, well, to be so combo
and also
heavy.
So developed so early.
Yeah. And here's the thing, though. If you take a look at the decks post-rotation, this has happened before where sometimes, you know, the meta does shift after rotation. But like last year, other than losing mono red, I mean, Esper control came up a little bit. There wasn't too heavy of a shift early on. It grew over time. This year, I mean, all of the decks are using a ton of Throne of Eldraine. And yeah, it is a very strange meta right now. And I'm here, don't get me wrong, I'm here for it. And by the way, MTG Goldfish, update your freaking Brawl metagame page, will you please? But anyway. Because I do want to talk about that maybe next week, because I've been playing a lot of Brawl. Because the guys at work, it's easy. But seriously, it's one of those strange things. I mean, what are you seeing out there? I mean, do you agree? Is it more combo heavy? Or,
I mean, archetype for me doesn't matter as much. What I see is dominance at the top and everybody else scrambling for scraps.
Yeah.
It's surprising to me that it looks like Wizards goofed.
And you know what? Let's just get into it, because I mean, we've kind of talked this out. Let's go right into
combat phase.
Because I mean, we've been dancing around it this entire conversation. We probably could have opened with combat today.
Probably.
You know, we're going to talk about this, and we're going to talk about the big deck right now. The big deck, no doubt, is Bantlands or Golos lands or Bant Golos or however you want to call it.
The various incarnations of the Field of the Dead decks.
Right. Well, I'm going to say this. It's Field of the Dead with Golos, Tireless Pilgrim. So our combat is, should the banhammer fall on Field of the Dead? And that was you that proposed that question. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to let you take this out. I'm going to warn you right now. I think I got a different opinion. But you take this out. Well, you go to town, sir.
You having a different opinion is what makes it combat. So
exactly. For once, we have a combat. And I'm going to win again.
So what we have, you know, we had SCG Philly over the weekend. It was the team event was the main event. The Classic was a little bit of a different breakout for the way the top 16 played out. But the day two meta of the team main event, there were 28 teams that made day two. 15 of those standard players were playing a variation of a Field of the Dead / Golos deck. 7 out of the top 8 were Golos decks or Field of the Dead decks. We're getting tweets from Saffron Olive, Shaheen Sarani, Todd Anderson, a bunch of other pros basically saying, Wizards, you done messed up. You need to ban Field of the Dead. And the
wow, they're saying ban Field of, Saffron saying Field of the Dead.
Ban Field of the Dead. And the biggest reason is because there's no way to interact with Field of the Dead in standard. Think about it. How do you deal with Field of the Dead once it's in play and active? What good ways are there to take care of Field of the Dead? Field of Ruin is gone. You're not going to play Land Destruction because that's dumb.
There's not much. There's a little bit, but it takes way too much.
Yeah, I mean, Agent of Treachery is being main decked in Field of the Dead decks to fight other Field of the Dead decks, but that's still 7 mana. If you're not playing Field of the Dead, you're not going to be able to ramp to 7 fast enough to cast it. You don't want to cast Assassin's Trophy because that just gets them another land. If they already have Field of the Dead in play, you still get a trigger off of it. Alpine Moon and Blood Sun rotated out. There's no way to really reliably or effectively deal with Field of the Dead once it's active. And
that's not true, though. Assassin's Trophy. I mean, yeah, you got to play a green-black, but Assassin's Trophy is a fine way to deal with it. And it has, and I've had a hit. You know, Casualties of War, Agent of Treachery, Unmoored Ego.
Unmoored Ego, you have to, again, but that's one of those things where you have to get it early. It basically has to be on turn 3, because on turn 3, Golos decks can already have 5 or 6 lands in play with the Field of the Dead in play.
You're not wrong there. I get
it. And I've tried it. And the thing is, too, is that the Field of the Dead decks, they'll even if they're worried about Unmoored Ego, they'll board into gates because they can play all 5 colors and they can play every answer.
Well, then, I mean, but here's the thing about that. But that's going to slow that deck down, too, if you think about it, because it's not like there's a lot of mana sitting around. You know, turn 1, you play Arboreal Grazer. Turn 2, you're trying to play Growth Spiral. Usually, you know, I don't keep a hand. Like, I played it this weekend. I played the Bantlands. I played it for the event. I'm building the deck. You know, you don't. I tended to keep hands. You know, I would keep a semi-not great hand if I had Once Upon a Time.
Yeah, and that's like, Once Upon a Time is such a good card in that deck because you're like, all right, well, I'm going to get an extra land in my hand no matter what. It's free.
And the Realm Cloak Giant, I mean, it's a really great card. It's a great deck. But I think the target is wrong.
No, it's not wrong. And I'm going to cut you off right there. Because you're going to say Golos is the real key to the deck. And I'm going to say...
Let me make my point, man. You can't have a combat where you're taking my shots.
I'm going to shoot your shot down before you even get to it.
All right, let's hear this.
Golos is very good. In that deck especially, Golos is very good. But it's essentially just another ramp spell with upside.
No, it's far more than that.
It ramps and gets you extra copies of Field of the Dead, which is what you're looking for. You're not going to cast Golos to get a Plains.
You know what? You might cast Golos to get a... what the hell's the name of that deck? Or that card. I have cast Golos to get Fabled Passage. To be able to swap things out and play around. No, here's why I think, and I am, I think you're wrong in that Field of the Dead is the card. I think without Golos, Field of the Dead doesn't do as much because of the fact that Golos allows you to go find it on turn 5, okay? Which, if you play it right, again, Arboreal Grazer, you should be putting 2 lands out turn 1. Okay, turn 2, you should be putting 2 more out if you have Growth Spiral. Like, you should be able to try to roll into there. All right, turn 3 then. You've got Circuitous Route. You're putting the other 2 out. Churn 4, you're playing Golos. Churn 5, you're getting field, you know, and you go find Field of the Dead. There's your 7. You already have your first zombie. Churn 6, you're going, you already have your 7 lands. Now you're playing, now the machine is running because you're doing it's not just Golos finding Field of the Dead.
I know his activated ability is really good, but it's not necessary.
His activated ability is ridiculous
in
this
deck. It's not even necessary.
It's absolutely necessary. It's how I've won games. Because I tend to try to be finding Realm Cloak Giant. Another Field of the Dead would be nice. Teferi Time Reveler. Even Once Upon a Time. I'm trying to find Card Engine to be able to bring in things. You know, like, the problem is with that is that Hydroid Krasis does you no good with Golos' second ability. I get that. You can't cast it. Because if you cast it for 0, it comes in and it fizzles. But everything else in that deck, Agent of Treachery, Realm Cloak Giant, even another Arboreal Grazer if you have a fistful of land. You know, it's, I think Golos, yes, all right, I'll give you this, that Field of the Dead is the engine by which, you know, that deck can get away from people. However, Golos is the linchpin of that engine.
Yeah, but Golos is so easy to deal with. It's a 3/5 artifact creature. It dices so much stuff.
Absolutely, it does.
A lot of it instant speed.
It does
speed.
Die to so much, but there's a lot of artifact. And, well, not artifact, but there's a lot of things that can pull things out of the graveyard. I pull it out occasionally myself.
Yeah, but it's still the fact that you have to spend additional resources to protect it, whereas you don't need to do that with Field of the Dead because there's no way to interact with it.
There are ways to interact.
Not
with
good.
It. Assassin's Trophy. Assassin's Trophy is a great way to interact.
No, because
with
you're
it.
Still giving that you're giving the ramp player lands, which is what they want.
Yeah, but it's basic. 9 times out of 10, they've run in 3 in that deck. Don't forget that you can only find a basic. You're running maybe 2 forests, maybe 1 plane, and 2 islands.
Well, I mean, if you're playing the ramp deck with any sort of intelligence, you're not going to, and you suspect they're playing Assassin's Trophy, you're not going to be searching for basics when you cast your ramp spells. You'll be looking for all the
tap lands.
Absolutely
not. I never ever searched for
so
basics.
So that right there, you're, you might be setting them back a turn or so, but you're not going to stop them. I mean, Unmoored Eagle is a great answer.
You're stopping Field of the Dead.
You're slowing it down.
All right, you take one out. Which is all you have to do in this meta.
No,
in this meta, that's the key here. You need to slow. The problem with Bant lands and Bolos and all that is that the speed. Like I said, churn 5, you're tapping 7. That's a lot of speed. Okay, that's a huge thing. But if you take Golos out of the mix and you leave Field of the Dead, okay. First of all, they're not. There are other ways to search for lands, absolutely, but there's not really many ways to search for non-basic lands, okay? So you take Golos out. Well, now you've probably pushed the clock back 2 turns before Field of the Dead's going to come out
still,
and really do something.
There's still Realm Cloak Giant. There's still, obviously, Securitas Reef. Right. There's still Once Upon a Time.
All Realm Cloak Giant does, it doesn't search lands. It just
not,
searches
not Realm Cloak.
It just
I meant creatures. Beanstalk.
Yeah.
Beanstalk Giant searches
but,
for lands.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you switch Golos for that, but it's still a little slower. And I think Beanstalk Giant only searches basic, doesn't it?
It does, but here's the problem. You get rid of Golos, the deck is still there. And the deck is still extremely good.
The deck is
good.
Still there, but I don't believe it's tier 1. I think Golos is the linchpin of that deck.
I don't think so.
I really do.
I think if it was, that would be the card you'd see those players complaining about. Because those guys know their stuff.
I see a lot of complaints going about Ban Golos. Okay,
I have not seen a single one.
I see it in Reddit.
I have not seen
it. Well, I'm reading a lot of the Reddit stuff, too. Oh, come on now, dude. If you're going to sit here and go on Twitter.
Well, when it's Shaheen Serini and people like Saffron Olive, yeah, absolutely.
Saffron Olive actually came back yesterday and said, you know, okay, here's a lot of ways to deal with it. Maybe it's not time to be banning it yet. What did he say? He said...
I have a tweet from yesterday. Wow, they just said on Covers the day 2 standard is probably 50% Golos.
Yeah, 10 hours ago, though, he said, well, I think Wizards should have printed more answers to Field of the Dead. I also think people are going a bit overboard based on very early standard results. It might be that Golos Field are tier 0 and unbeatable, but it's way too early to know. So he's taking more of a stance on that. You know, it's really...
Because Eric Froelich said, broke. Calling for bans the best decks cards with week 1 of a new format. Woke. calling for bans for the best decks cards of week one of a new format when they invalidate many different strategies while also causing the vast majority of games to go extremely long and be wildly not fun. Referencing Field of the Dead.
I mean, I get it. I get it. And you know, I guess the question too becomes, okay, so if you take Golos out, you might be changing my mind a little bit too, because I just read another tweet from somebody else who said, okay, you take Golos out, you know what's going to happen? Your rock is going to come back.
Yeah, and here's the thing too. Golos can be countered. It's still a 5-mana spell you have to cast, whereas Field of the Dead is your land drop. Can't stop land drops. That's a state-based action. Just, oh, there's my land. Oh, I already had 2 Field of the Deads in play. There's 3 zombies for free. And it's just, it's the inevitability. It's the resilience. It's the fact that how many times you have to wipe the board and they're like, oh, well, shucks, I'll just make 16 more zombies. You know, they don't need Golos to do that. It's the Field of the Dead. And you're playing, and in order to get your arm, I mean, if you had to spend resources, like if you had to spend mana to make the creatures, then we probably wouldn't be having this discussion because it would slow the deck down quite a bit. Because, like, you know, whenever this land comes into play, blah, 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 you may pay 1. Or even if it was 1, it probably would still be a lot less powerful than it is now.
Right.
And it's all around a land that can't be countered. And right now, other than kind of awkward, clunky answers, I mean, because Assassin's Trophy, there's only a couple of decks that can even think about playing that. Sure. You know what I mean? Agent of Treachery, they already have it in their own deck, so they'll just steal it back.
Yeah, but most of them are only running 1 or 2. But I see your point.
And there's even a couple of decks that play Fae of Wishes, and they have the Agent of Treachery in their sideboard, so they can just go search for it.
Exactly. I don't necessarily disagree that, you know, Field may be better. I do think Golos would be... I hate banning lands, okay? And here's the thing, like, this is where are you Rampaging Ferocidon? Why did that have to rotate? Mm-hmm. That would be an answer.
That's why I mean that Wizards screwed up, because they have a card like this in a format when there's no clear cut and simple, it doesn't have to be easy or cheap, but there's no easy, you know, commonly accessible way to interact with the card that doesn't involve, you know, severely hampering your deck and its main strategy, because honestly, who's going to play Land Destruction? Really?
I think people are going to do it now.
I mean, if you're playing Rakdos, are you going to main deck Bedeck Bedazzle to pay 6 mana to destroy a non-basic?
Yeah. I mean, I was sitting there, and I mean, I was talking in the Discord yesterday, like I said, with Kerwins, and I mean, I had a moment of clarity. I do think that this Golos Field of the Dead combo is the teamer energy of this standard right now.
It feels like the Ravager Affinity of this format right now.
But I'm saying as far as consistency goes, I mean, it is a consistent deck.
It's scary, Yeah,
it's very consistent. It's very much, you know, and yeah, I'm very surprised they didn't do a ban today. They did have a BNR today.
I can understand it only because a set literally just came out, so it's obviously way too soon. There's not enough data. But... November 18th is the next announcement. I would be a little bit surprised if they didn't ban Field of the Dead, because I mean,
I think once we see a few standard events, and especially don't we have an MC? Don't we have a Mythic Championship?
I think
it's coming up right before that.
Okay. It's coming up right before that announcement. But here's another thing too. Okay, so this deck is the boogeyman right now.
It really is.
It really is. And it's at the point now where we're back to Bio Boxes being playable, because Kenrith is now becoming a thing for this deck.
I love that card.
Think about that.
I love that card in almost every deck I've put it in.
But think about it. The deck can splash it with no penalty and have access to all of his abilities. I mean, you really only want the first one to give your guys Trample and Haste, because, hey...
Oh, no, I've actually used the other thing,
I know,
too.
But that's the thing. It's like, for the most part, he can gain you a crap ton of life if you're behind. Oh, I'm fine now, nice and stabilized. Oh, I can make my zombies bigger. Oh, let's draw some cards. Oh, my Golos is dead? Let's reanimate it. By the way, I just made 10 zombies. Let's give them all Haste.
Yeah, that's how I've won most of the
Kenrith,
because I did.
In most other decks that aren't Brawler Commander, Kenrith is he's okay. In this deck, he's crazy.
He's good in a lot of decks.
You gotta be playing 5 colors to abuse him.
I think because he is what he is. He's a Swiss Army knife as far as cards.
He's Zakama.
Yeah, he is Zakama. And I mean, if you can find a way to tutor him out, so even if you've got a Fae of Wishes and you put him, you know, does it go to your hand or does it go on the field?
Fae of Wishes? He goes in your hand.
Yeah, that's not good then. So yeah, you got to have white. But I mean, I'm seeing a lot of five color decks.
Well, I mean,
like again, Golos, I'm looking at the
Golos field is already five color because you have the other gates to activate the Golos ability, which happens to slot right in with Kenrith.
Right. I mean, the deck I'm looking at for called Jeskai Fires, mm-hmm. it's five color.
Yeah, but
what's
the mana base though?
It's all Shocklands.
Does it play
and Interplanar Beacon?
Okay, but yeah,
which you
can't use Interplanar Beacon to use Kenrith.
No, but you can use Sacred Foundry Steam Vents.
Okay, so it's got Sacred Foundry, so you can't hard cast it, but can you activate all his abilities?
Yeah. No.
Yeah,
it looks like
that's
not.
The problem. You can cast him.
It's still Jeskai.
You can cast him for free, draw a bunch of cards, gain a bunch of life, give stuff haste. But the real shenanigans, like again, is in the Golos Field of the Dead decks.
Oh yeah.
And here's the big disclaimer here. I'm probably going to be playing this deck next week because obviously it's the best
too.
Deck in the format.
I need to get two more Hydroids. I've got to get two more Hydroid Crisis. Once I have those, I can play it. I mean, and I think I got to find two more Fields of the Dead. I think I got two. Maybe
I think
three.
I have an extra one.
All right. Cool.
And plus two. Here's off. The thing: like if I'm playing stacks, Golos Field just kind of laughs at that because Doom Foretold makes you sacrifice non-token permanents.
Yeah.
And Field of the Dead's like my zombies.
Okay.
All tokens,
dude. And so, I mean, as far as combat goes, like I said, I think it's wait and see. I do think I could see them. All right, here's the thing. The closest we can come to at this time, like since we've been back, since you and I have been back, to a standard like this was when Temur Energy was out there. And then they put the Banhammer down, which is the same time they did Rampaging Ferocidon because they wanted to shut down a little bit of Ramunap Red.
Mm-hmm.
So they did Ramunap Ruins and the stupid dinosaur Rampaging Ferocidon. But then they also, instead of in Jeskai Control, instead of dealing with a lot of the real bad cards, they did a Tune with Aether and then the Rogue Refiner.
Yeah.
And so I could, honestly, they may do both. I could see them saying, look, Golos is ridiculous. Field of the Dead is also, like, we have to deal with Field of the Dead, especially after the what the hell was the name of that? Hogak issue.
Well, I think...
Where they tried to ban everything around it, and it didn't work.
The thing is, though, if they ban Field of the Dead, Golos is unplayable.
I don't agree with that. I think Golos is very playable still. I think he still ramps up. Yeah, you may not get the token generation.
The payoff's not as big. It's nowhere near as big. It drops him a whole tier.
I think you still see Golos out there. I do. Mm. I think because Golos has, I think Golos's ability, especially if you put maybe it just goes into a gate deck. You put Golos in a gate deck now, and you make a five color gate deck. It's almost the same thing.
Ugh.
Yeah, most of your lands are coming in tapped. You're kind of a turn behind. But if you can get a Boreal Grazer out and Growth Spiral out turn one, turn two with Once Upon a Time, like, I'm still not... I think Golos and Field of the Dead being out is why we haven't seen Gates show up yet.
Well, I think...
But believe me, if they ban this... Gates is coming.
I don't think so. Gates
Ablaze is way too good of a removal, and that stupid angel that gets you to 60 life on one turn. I think you still have the ramp, and if you have Golos in a gate deck, you have a ton of ramp.
Gates,
especially you put Guild Summon out there.
If Field of the Dead goes away, then the Esper Stax deck takes over.
I don't think so. I think you'll see. I think Bant ramp. I think the two ramp decks may, and again you're discounting Fires of Invention.
Fires of Invention is very, very good. It's very, very good.
And I think if any deck's going to take over, it's going
to
be that.
Well, it'll be either one of those two decks, and then even still,
yeah,
the Gates deck won't be able to keep up. And I think what it is the Field of the Dead Golos decks is the natural evolution of the Gates deck. It's the Gates deck in its purest form. It's the boss form. You know, and the fact that I even had you even thinking about changing your position means I win this combat.
I'll let you have this one.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, but here we go.
It is a good deck.
We got a poopy ton full of emails and stuff to get through. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit about the arena. The big event, the win every card. Okay, so it kicked off. First of all, Wizards, what the fracking hell? Okay, you started at 11 o'clock on a Saturday.
Saturday night.
Saturday night, and it only goes until Monday morning. You guys suck. Why in the world do you not do it 8 p.m. Eastern? Okay, why do you make... first of all, that's what really pissed me off, is I'm like sitting there going, wait, this doesn't start till 11? What the frack?
Yeah.
I was mad. It's just, seriously, Wizards, you done screwed up. Like, that was the first thing. The problems the arena event was great. And don't get me wrong, I had a blast with it. Like I said, I went 5-2. I played a Bant deck. Nobody saw Kenrith and Ashiok, which saved my bacon twice. There were two different, two different events. I mean, and I got notes here, but I mean, like, I ran a very consistent, I won my first two right out of the gate. I'm really kind of wondering if they didn't have bots. Because some of it was real bad play.
I lost my first game badly.
Oh, did you? Yeah, but... Like, I did wake up at 6 o'clock. Like, I woke up at my normal wake-up time, so I think that might have been part of it, too, is that I was playing basically drunk high college students from California.
Yeah, and you texted me when I was still asleep.
I did really good. Game one, game two, I mean, I won pretty much right out of the gate. It was somebody was playing Cavalcade, and he just couldn't get it going. And then the other one was, you know, some weird brew he had. You know, my first loss was round three. I lost to Gruul Aggro. It was my kryptonite. I knew it, too. The minute I played it, I'm like, this is really, really bad. I mean, he ramped perfectly. He got all of his stuff out. Turn four, he's bringing out the freaking Hellkite, and I can't stop it. So I was dead in four turns. And then the next two, I was playing very similar decks to mine. I was playing a Sultai, of all things, and then one Bant. The Bant Mirror was really okay, and I actually had a thought, like, before I put this deck together, I said, I'm going to add in Ashiok and I'm going to add in Kenrith. And Ashiok for the mirror was golden. Like, I was throwing everything. I mean, I was constantly getting rid and exiling everything in his graveyard. He couldn't do anything. So, you know, and I'm not sure why. Oh, but it's not just that. It was... the graveyard thing was fine and dandy, but because he couldn't search his library.
Mm-hmm.
So sure, bring Golos up. And there's another thing. Ashiok is a great answer for Golos. You can't go search your library for your land.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, but so I had that out there, and both time it shut it down. He couldn't find Field of the Dead, and I just overwhelmed him. And then the second time I played another deck, I had Kenrith out, and hey, everybody has haste. And oh, look, I got five life, and basically you suck and die. Game six was Gruul. There was nothing I could do. He drew Robin Hood, then he drew the Gruul Spellbreaker, and I'm just like, frack you. I got nothing but lands, got a Krasis out on turn two, but he played Embercleave on the fucking... I couldn't freaking believe it. He played Embercleave on Robin Hood. And I'm just like, you asshole.
Nice.
So, yeah, I lost up pretty much on turn six on that, and I was dead. But what about you? What did you play?
I played Bant lands.
Yeah, and how'd you do?
4-2.
Yeah. But you lost your first match.
Yep, lost the first.
Do you know what you played? Or?
I lost the first match to Bant lands. And I punted. I made a mistake somewhere where I think I could have killed his Teferi one way, and I did it a different way, and I think that cost me the game. I don't remember exactly. Won the next one against... I almost went 0-2.
Oh, shit.
I very nearly went 0-2.
I would have never let you live that down.
I played Rakdos Aggro, and he had me down to, like, 3 life, and he couldn't close the deal. And I was able to come back and win that game. I won third round. I don't remember what it was against. Fourth and fifth round, Kenrith won me a couple of games. The last round that I lost, it was Cavalcade, and he went turn one Scorchbitter. Turn two, Cavalcade. Turn three, one drop, and they all had haste.
Oh, geez.
And I was dead by turn four. I played literally no spells that game.
At least he didn't Spitfire you, because that just makes you feel bad.
It was the one of the games that I won was it was Cavalcade that I won. He had Spitfire, and I was able to stabilize and get Kenrith out and just gain gobs of life, and he just couldn't keep up with it. So, I mean, it's in best of one, Fields is an incredibly good deck to play.
Yeah. So what did you think of the event overall then? I mean, you know, from a perspective, now we had a combat on this a few weeks ago. So now that we've played both rounds, what do you think overall?
For the win every card event, I don't like the prospect of best of one. I think they should have reduced the number of wins to like six, but make it best of three. Because there's nothing worse than having your second loss be because, well, you know, my opponent just got the nut draw and I played land, dead. You know, or I got color screwed, or, you know, I had a mulligan to four. That feels real bad.
It does.
I love the idea that they did that. I love the event overall. Being able to win all that stuff was really cool. I think the bar was way too high. I think you can make it best of three, reduce the number of wins to six or seven or eight, whatever, less than 12. Yes, it's going to take a little bit longer, but it really would reward being able to play a full match of Magic. I understand that best of one is Arena's thing. That's everybody does that.
And I get it. And I can embrace that. Yeah.
So there's that kind of made me feel bad. Cause I was like, I know I can beat that matchup if I just, you know, maybe if I'd mulliganed a different hand or something else, but like not even being able to play on the final game that you lost, that just feels real bad.
Well, I think, too, my problem was, like I said, how they did it, like, only having it for, what, 36 hours or 32 hours?
Barely that, yeah.
You know, it really, that sucked. Like, that's a, forgive my language, folks, that's a shitty way to do it. The fact is, you know, this is a video game. And, yeah, okay, you're trying to make an event, and I understand that, but you're putting it on a Sunday. Which, if I had the kids this weekend, Sunday's like the day we do things. Like, we go and get apples. It's fall, man. It's autumn. I want to go pick pumpkins and grab apples and carve pumpkins and make it look like, you know, a blind man with Parkinson's did it. You know, I mean, just that's how I want to roll. But, I mean, the fact is, you know, I woke up at 6 a.m., thank God. Because I got to play it, and I played it out, and I had a decent time. But to not allow you to have more time, like, they could have gone till tomorrow.
I know.
They could have, if you wanted to go 11 o'clock Saturday night, then you go 11 o'clock Saturday night until 8 a.m. Tuesday morning.
I know the big reason why they did it as short as they did. Number one, I mean, the odds are already against you. Somebody crunched numbers and basically said you had like a 1 in 600 chance of actually going 12x.
Right.
The biggest reason is because if you win one of every card in Standard, that's a lot of booster packs you don't have to open, which means that's a lot of booster packs you don't have to buy.
That's not true, though. Even though you're still going to crack packs because you only got one and you need playsets.
Yeah, but I mean, but it's that many less. They're
right.
Giving away all this stuff. I mean, you know, the free sleeve, awesome, fine. You know, that's like normally like, what, 500 gems or something stupid like that?
Right.
Giving away a free sealed set, that's, what, 2,000 gems?
Yeah.
You know? Giving away one of every card in Standard, which is, what, 1,000 cards?
Right.
I mean, granted, okay, a bunch of them are commons, but still, you're talking about, you know, 100-some-odd mythics and rares and, you know, a bunch of stuff, basically. They were looking at it as saying, we're going to lose money on this, but what the hell? But you can only do it for like a day and a half. So I agree with you. The timing kind of sucked because I barely was able to do it.
It really was kind of just ridiculous. And that's the problem I had with it, is the timing. Other than that, I think it was a fine event.
Yeah, it was
fun. You know, I did, you know what? The fact I beat you made me feel better. But, I mean, going 5-2, I think that's the average. I think in the arena groups that I'm in, some of them which I posted here, I think one or two people posted 12 and, you know, they went 12-2.
Good on
some
that.
Went 12-0, and I'm kind of like, you could have took a screenshot and altered that shit.
But, still, anybody who got 12 wins, super congratulations to you, because that was
seriously
not easy.
So, but let's get into, you know what, I really want to give some time here to our mail, because we have three or four here.
Okay.
So we might go a little over, but I do want to kind of go through them, because first of all, you guys took the time to write. So, you know, first of all, Justin, we put him off last week.
Okay.
Because he sent in a deck list. And you know, he wrote us back last week. He said he was very glad we didn't review the deck list he sent because he got something a bit more spicy consistent for us to look at. In this week's podcast, you guys mentioned Mono Red Cavalcade having some issues with consistency, and I think I have a nice option that finally makes use of Bag of Holding. Not likely.
Interesting.
It is also along the lines of the big red control deck you guys talked about a few weeks ago. I think that was more like a few months ago, but you know what? I think he's a new listener.
That was pre-rotation, right?
Yeah. But much more explosive. He's had a blast playing it, so I'm going to just pull it up here and take a look. I actually didn't pre-look, so... So it looks here, and you know what? I probably can put it right on the screen. Let's make its own window here, and you know, so our friends can see. We're going to Aether Hub, which is where he put us, and I need to find my mouse because I have three computers now, so my mouse is anywhere. Your guess is mine.
Yeah, I found it. I'm looking at it now.
You suck. Well, I'm trying to put it on the screen, though.
Go ahead and put it on the screen. I'm just looking at it.
All right, ooh. So.
Okay.
And then we'll put it up on the screen and make it single. Okay, so Bag of Holding, and then it's got things like Shock, which we would think, Chandra's Regulator, which I still love, Scorching Dragonfire, which is kind of like the new Lightning Bolt, Thrill of Possibility, good card. I actually like this card a lot. It's an additional cost to cast a spell, discard a card, and you get to draw two.
Yeah, it's a strictly better Tormenting Voice.
Yeah. Glinthorn Buccaneer, which is a Minotaur spicy. Pirate from M20. Yeah, that's spicy. Interesting idea. It's got a lot of discard to redo. Bone Crusher Giant, which everybody loves. Only two of, which I almost want to put four in this deck. But Ironcrag Pyromancer. I'm not sold on her yet.
I can see why.
I think she's better for an Izzet deck than a mono red.
No, because there's a ton of ways to draw cards in this deck. I totally see it.
True.
There's tons of ways to draw
Fires
cards.
Of Invention is amazing. I still love that card. Torbren, Alone. Sundering Stroke. Shandi, the Awakened Inferno. And then Four Calves of Flames. Not horrible.
It's very interesting. I like it.
It's a very interesting deck. It does have a little spice. I don't know that... I don't know how it would do in this meta. It seems a bit too... For red, it seems a little too combo-y.
Well, it's not an aggressive deck. This deck looks like it's going to sit back and just sort of burn you out with passives. It doesn't look like it wants to turn things sideways because, I mean, obviously Ironcrag's a 0/4, but it can block. Yeah. You know what it can do? It can block zombies all day.
It can block zombies all day.
Everything
which,
here
you
has
know,
like
right
a
now
three
is a good thing
toughness.
To have.
Yeah. The only thing it's missing is like a board wipe, but it looks like this just wants to say, you know what? I'm just going to get a couple things online, like maybe an Ironcrag Pyromancer. And then I'm just going to torch you out of the game.
It's an interesting idea. Anything I'd add to it, I think... I don't know. What would we add? I'm a big fan of the Starkin Hellkite as far as a flyer with haste goes.
Yeah, but...
And it's a big, bad beast.
Mm.
It takes seven to get it out. Ilharg?
There's no point for Ilharg. There's nothing really to flash in.
Right, yeah, because
nothing to flash in. I like this. I like this list. It's very interesting.
It's
I don't
got
know.
A lot. The only problem that I could see with it is it has a great deal. It looks like of with Torbren anyway, and Shandi's Regulator, and then Chandra Awakened Inferno. You've got 4, 6, 8 legendaries. That's a little, you know, I could see you getting two Torbrens in your hand in this set.
Well, I mean, that's not the worst thing in the world.
Well, no, because you could Bag of Holding, you know, discard a card and put Bag of Holding.
Yeah, you can stash one away for later. Basically, I think that's what the duplicates are for, is that if you run into that problem, you got Bag of Holding there to be like, all right, I'll store this for later. And in the meantime, you're still triggering Ironcrag Pyromancer and essentially hitting them for between either 3 or 5.
Right.
Which... Okay.
It's not a horrible deck. Maybe we'll do a stream like tomorrow or Wednesday, and you could roll this up, and I'll roll in with Bant.
I mean, I can see it. Okay, so it's turn one, Bag of Holding. Turn two, whatever.
Yeah.
Turn three, Ironcrag Pyromancer. Turn four, you play Torbran. And then from there, you just sit back and draw two cards a turn and deal 20 damage over the course of 4 turns. And if you happen to get multiple Pyromancers out, that's even more damage.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they each trigger. So if you if your turn five is a second Pyromancer, and you then act like if you had played instead of a Bag of Holding, or you'd played a Chandra's Regulator on turn two, you discard a card to draw a card, which is your second one. That triggers Ironcrag twice. You just dealt 10 damage for one mana. I could see
that.
Yeah,
you're not wrong.
And then, you know, the next turn, you lather, rinse, repeat, and oops, they're dead. I mean, and four toughness survives pretty much every burn spell in the format besides Lava Coil, which is a sorcery.
Yep. It's an interesting thought.
I may have to take a look at
this.
It's
an interesting deck, Justin. I don't not like it. So thanks for writing in, though. He goes on to say that he's a fan of the podcast. He does listen to it during his 45-minute commute. So do I, but I tend to do it from a more of like, what can I do to make it better? But I'm glad somebody's listening to it on a commute.
Yes.
And enjoying it. we could talk about it. By the way, I did try the Be Live audio last week. We're going to go back to doing it the way we were doing it because I did have issues with it.
Okay.
While
you're doing that, I'm going to export this.
And to get me excited about brewing decks, I typically only brew the finest best of one memory, but I've had some decent success taking this deck into best of three ranked. He took it to plat last week. Nice. Let me know what you guys think, and if you want me to keep sending decks. Oh yeah, heck yeah, keep sending everything. Send us everything. We want you to send us whatever you have, because that lets us know that we have listeners, which makes us keep doing this. And it, you know, let's be honest, it's all so we can exploit you later on Patreon. No, I'm only kidding. So but let's go on here. We got Nathan, who wrote in as well. He wrote it and said, this is probably one of the best. Listen, from here on out, this is how we're going to know you guys are full listeners. Ready? I want you to send every email starting off with, so just FYI, you suck. Because that's how he started this. He said, so just FYI, you suck. That could literally be our greeting. Like if we ever had a convention, they would just come and tell us how much we suck. Just kidding, but you did ask for that with the last episode. You guys are doing great. Love the chemistry between you two. Very Laurel and Hardy.
Interesting to see which one's
the
which.
Fat one. Is he calling me the fat one?
Yeah, okay.
Ah, oh, that bastard. And that's our listener, by the way. I get to call you bastard. I'm blaming the beer. Anyway, you guys are doing great. Love the chemistry, Laurel and Hardy. Okay, good out and loud support of the LGS, which is always needed in this digital age. We both believe in that. We both are very, very staunch supporters of our LGS, even if we weren't going to a place like Kerwin's. And I mean, I have a local one here where I live in Amsterdam called Professor Bond's, which I also go to and enjoy. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, Kerwin's is kind of more my place because it also lets me take my students. We're both very big fans of that. The LGS, if you don't support your local game shop, folks, do it. Don't just buy your cards at Walmart. First of all, you're going to meet a lot of great people. You're going to meet people that enjoy playing the game just like you do. It's really worthwhile to do. So, that's our LGS moment. And the more you know. Anyway. I figured I would just write in with a kudos to you guys for putting out a good show on a consistent basis. Keep up the good work. If you want some things to think on as constructive feedback, then the only thing ideas I can come up with would be to making the bumpers cleaner, as the deep voice is very muddled and be hard to understand. But I've gotten used to it by now, and possibly a deck discussion where you pull a meta deck from Arena and how to play and how to beat it. I think we kind of did that today.
Yeah, we tried that one today.
A little bit. Yeah.
There's no beating.
So,
there's only
hey,
adapting.
We listen to our listeners. So... grain of salt with both these ideas, as your current format is solid as it. Anyway, keep it up, and I'll keep listening sincerely. Chiba Tank.
All
right, I just like the name. Chiba Tank.
Cool. I wonder if it's
so. And I put
handle.
His real name Nathan because you know why wouldn't I do that? So there you go, guys. I've given you half of Chiba Tank's secret identity. please don't go after his family. But in any event, I don't disagree. The bumpers, I mean, were something I did. I have a setting because I do another podcast for Legends of Tomorrow. Called Legends TV Talk. Tell your friends. And so with that, I had a setting because I also did the bumpers there because I wanted to alter my voice because my voice is rather telltale. But to pull the curtain back, I'm the one who did all of the main phase. But I went in and lowered the tempo, lowered it and growled it out. So I'm not opposed to coming up with new things, and if anybody wants to put something together, hey, you know what? Give us a shot. You know, I'm not going to promise we're going to use it. So, I mean, the time you put in may be not waste, but it's the best of what we have right now. One of these days we may change it. But for right now, it's what we do, and maybe I'll go in and play with some of the settings. But I really like the format we have here as far as, kind of treating it like a turn of magic.
Yeah.
So, you know, it really does keep, it helps us as far as putting everything together. But I really appreciated there, Chiba Tank. Please keep writing. Please keep listening. You know, let us know what you think. So finally, we have Rick wrote in today as well. He said, "Hey, guys, I decided to send you a list of my Orzhov aggro deck after hearing last week you'd be interested in checking some out. I have yet to play test it, but plan on bringing it to my LGS this weekend. Hey, Arena's really good for that, dude. Put it together in Arena if you can."
Yeah.
And if you don't want to do Arena, if you don't like the fact that it's kind of temporary, MTGO still is a place. Thanks in advance for any advice. Great podcast, by the way. It's one of my favorites. Please keep up the good work. So, and then he tried to send us a file. Listen, folks, I love deck lists, but I work in IT. So if you send me a PDF or anything other than like a JPEG and make sure that I know that you meant to send me that file, like it says, "I have attached a file with my deck list in it. Please read it. My name is blank." I'm going to assume you're trying to send me a virus and give me porn that my kids will open on my computer and I won't like it.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. But I'm naturally leery of attachments, so he did send it as text. So he said, "Having some issues, here's the deck if you were to open the file." So basically, it's an Orzhov deck with 200 witnesses, 2 Falmir Knights, 2 Gutterbones, 4 Corpse Knights, 4 Cruel Celebrants, 3 Lazatep Reavers, 3 Orders of Midnight, Black Lance Paragon, 2 Dawns of Hopes, Oath of Kaia's, 1 Gideon Blackblade.
I've seen a deck very similar to this before.
Yeah, 3 Basilica Bellhaunt, 3 Sorin Vengeful Bloodlords, not the black one, which that card's unplayable.
Yeah, I rotated out.
And 2 Command the Dread Hordes. Okay, I have seen something kind of similar to this as well. This seems like a very consistent deck. All right, you're not going to win if you're playing meta. It really depends on your LGS. If your LGS is one of these Brewer LGSs, you got a pretty good shot. But if you're walking into an LGS and they're rolling in with Bant Ramp or Golos, obviously, or rolling in with, you know, even Esper, I think this could do, no, it's Esper Stacks would eat it alive.
It's a lot of Afterlife, so.
Yeah. You've got a good shot. I mean, what do you think, Aramis? I think it's a good deck, but it really depends on your LGS.
It seems very similar to the Aristocrat type deck that I've seen in the past. I'd have to really look at the deck list to be able to.
Should he splash red?
He could. I mean, there's the black red card from War of the Spark that deals damage whenever something gets sacrificed. You know, there's Footlight Fiend. There's Firebrand Artisan.
There's the, what do you call it, too? The, what the hell's her name? The,
Judith?
Yeah, Judith would be really good in this deck.
Yeah.
Like, I gotta tell you, I might, if it was me, I would probably take out Lazatep Reaver. Is that gonna give you a mass?
Lazatep Reaver mistaken? Gives you a mass, yes. A mass one.
Either a mass or spirits, you kind of gotta pick your poison. If you took 3 Lazatep Reavers out, splashed a little red with Blood Fields or whatever the hell it is, and maybe the Command the Dread Hordes, and splashed in a few of the red Rakdos cards,
right?
I think what you'd find is that your deck would all of a sudden go from really decent to explosive.
Right.
At least in my thinking. It's more along the lines, I'm trying to find a deck here, a Rakdos aggro. And maybe that's a deck to look at. If you go on to MTG Goldfish, one of the top 10 is a Rakdos aggro. Mm-hmm. But I think you want to stay Orzhov, and I get that. Fervent Champion is a great one drop. If you were going to splash red for Judith, Fervent Champion, I mean, he attacks. You've got other knights in the set in your playlist and equip abilities. That's not as important as what he does. He's a first strike haste for 1/1. You're getting him out turn one. He's basically pretty good. And then I honestly, Rankle. I would try to squeeze Rankle into this. Yeah. If you were gonna stay black and white, if you're playing black, I don't think there's any reason not to play Rankle.
There's also no reason not to play Murderous Rider if you didn't already have that in.
Yeah. Yeah, because Murderous Rider is gonna give you removal.
Well, are there any are there any Eldraine cards in that list?
Falmire Knight, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, Falmire Knight.
Or is that 20?
Yeah, that's Eldraine.
Okay.
Yeah, take another look at
Black Lance Paragon, isn't that?
No, that's Core 20.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Black Lance Paragon. Yeah, that's Eldraine. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because isn't that the deck you? Isn't that the card you got? By the way, we'll talk about the pricing on that afterwards.
Oh yeah, it's down to $30.
Yeah, mine fell to 60. So yep. I was like, all right, I probably should have sold that last week.
Yeah, well, missed the boat, but it's still pretty. I'm keeping it.
And again, I mean, and it really depends on your sideboard, Rick. I would say too. I mean, you're going to want to sideboard in things like Legion's End to take care of. And Legion's End's another one, by the way, that can handle Field of the Dead.
That shuts it off for a turn and a half. Believe me, I've done it enough times.
But, I mean, again, if you want, Rick, I would definitely think about maybe splashing in a little red. I think you're going to find a little more consistency, and you might even be able to throw things like Shock or, like I said, the Fervent Champion to kind of...
The one,
give it a little something.
The one problem he runs into is the mana base gets really dicey at three colors. I mean, granted, he'll have access to all the Scry lands for black, white, and white, red.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, so he's going to have some...
That's a lot of tap lands for a deck that looks kind of aggressive.
Right. It's an interesting idea. But, I mean, overall, yeah. I mean, otherwise, I think it's not a bad deck. And again, it really does depend on your LGS.
Hmm.
You know, so... But I think with that, that's our last bit of the mailbag in there. So I think, and we're a little bit over time, so why don't we go ahead and get ourselves directly to something here at eventually. There it is.
End step.
All right, we're going to end step here. We're going to start wrapping up picking up our cards, putting them in the boxes, rolling up our play mats. You know, making fun of each other because Aramis went 4-2 and I went 5-2.
Here we go.
You know, just kind of talk to ourselves about that. But both Aramis and I, while we're doing this, we want to let you guys know that we both stream Arena on the Planestalkers podcast channel on Twitch. Just look up Planestalkers podcast there. You can also follow me on Twitch at Mindcrime73.
You can also follow me on Twitch at RMECWRX, although I should probably change my name to 52-1. But
wow, you're about to determine to try. I told you when we make a year, when we go to episode 52, it'll be our episode 52 spectacular. You could tell that story all you want, and then I will edit that bitch down to where it looks like I am Superman. But anyway.
Anyway, yeah, RMECWRX on Twitch. I streamed last Wednesday. I'm hoping to stream this Wednesday. Hey, I might play that red deck, although I might draft too. I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet. I usually try to stream around like between 8:30 and 9 p.m. Eastern, so it's a little bit late, and I tend to stay on for about an hour, but that's when I try to do it. That's really when I have time during the week. So if you're interested, RMECWRX on Twitch. I also, you know, make sure that the Planestalker podcast channel hosts me, so I'll be on there as well. If Twitter's more your speed to keep up with us, you can find our show at PlanestalkerPod on Twitter.
Oh.
Benson? Well,
the way you finished that sentence, I was like, it sounded like you had more to say. My personal Twitter is... And my personal Twitter is at WR Benson. And, of course, you can always follow us on Facebook. Just look up Planestalker Podcast and like and follow our page there.
Finally, you can send us emails like this whole crop that we got today. That was really cool. Thank you, guys.
That was really kind of neat. I was really kind of happy with that.
Where you can, you know, tell us how we're doing with the show or even ask for advice in our Ask Aramis section where I can offer you tips on anything from deck construction to limited choices. And if you want to send us an email, our address is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com.
Finally, we would love to encourage you guys to leave us an iTunes review or wherever you get the podcast. Leave us a review there. It does help kind of bring more eyes to the show. We want to also encourage you to share it with your playgroups and friends there because we are one of the best, I think, standard podcasts out there. A lot of podcasts talk Magic, but we're really focused on standard here. But we, you know, love to talk about it all. We're fans of the game. So right now, what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and back on out of here. For Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying thank you guys very much for listening. We hope you have a great week. We'll be back next Monday around 8 o'clock, 7:30 time frame to record. We want to thank you for listening and remind you to always leave some of your lands untapped because you never know when you'll need them. Take care and have a good day.